right now, God don't want your car and your house and your money. He wants you and he wants me. And once he can get us in the proper relationship with himself, then everything else falls into perspective. Because thou shalt have no other gods before him. You don't have nothing to bring? I beseech you therefore, brethren. Come on, bring yourself. God wants you and me first. I think I'd be right by saying God doesn't want anything you have if he don't have you. The truth of the matter, he doesn't even want my sin because he took that and threw it out. Oh, my, my, my. But if you really want to worship him, give him yourself. My God. Who did he really die for? He died for you. And he died for me. He got up for you and got up for me. He's not impressed with the stuff we're impressed with. But when we come boldly to the throne of grace, saying, Lord, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. The church needs to get back to that. You know, I was thinking about that early this morning. I'm not going to church. I'm going to worship. Because, see, it's a difference. We say, I'm going to church. I'm going to worship. That is totally different. I'm going to worship him. I got something I want to do. That's why the Psalms, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go. It said as soon as they could see, they were walking to Jerusalem, but as soon as they could see the temple, as soon as they could see the gate of the temple, something stirred up within them because they wanted to worship him. And their worship was not based on whether or not he gave them 5 loaves of bread last week or 1 loaf or no loaves. Relationship. My Lord. Turn to James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Those that can stand, please stand. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. I'll be reading from King James Version. Verse 13 says, is any among you afflicted? Now, I know we used to, back then, they used to call people afflicted. They ain't talking about that kind of afflicted. I had to put that in there. You afflicted. No, that's not there. I'm going to tell you what it means in the Greek later on, but that ain't got nothing to do with folk people. You afflicted. They. Is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Look at verse 18. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Lord, bless us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We want to talk today about power praying. Power praying. Praying with power. Power prayer. And I got that because I heard all this stuff about power lunch, power lifting, power walking, you know, power conferences. I was at one church, they introduced us as prayer, praise, and power church. Power. You know, all the tools at these different hardware stores, all those were not originally power tools. But usually when someone or some person, when they're trying to increase the effectiveness of something, they will devise a way to add power to it. So today we're going to talk about power praying. I need to let the church know there's a lot of prayers going up, but all prayers going up aren't powerful. I want some powerful prayers going up. Power praying. Power walking. Power lifting. All these kind of power. Why don't we have any power in the church? Power. Power praying. Praying with power. How can the believer add more power to his or her prayer life? Prayer is a very important part of the Christian's armor for a victorious life. You got to know how to pray. Prayer is very important. The name of this church is Philadelphia Prayer, Praise, and Worship Center Church. Prayer is key. Prayer is essential for the Christian. Prayer is communication with God and communication from God. And prayer is not always petitioning God. Sometimes prayer is just adoring God and praising God and loving on God and waiting for God to love you back and just basking in His presence. Because sometimes prayer is not always petitioning God. I think we need to teach that more, because so many people don't pray until they need something. And that's where we mess up. That's where we don't have any power in our prayer, because if we don't need, we don't have a need to pray. But prayer is actually communicating with God. You ought to communicate with God on a daily basis. God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I lift you up. God, I magnify you. You're praying unto God. And just thanking Him for being in your life. Prayer is requesting a petition or a concern or a praise, and you put it on a spiritual level. You're getting it to heaven. It's from here, you're getting it from earth to heaven. Sometimes life for the believer can be so overwhelming that when it's time to pray, the words won't even come out. Anybody ever been there? You've been through so much that you know you need to pray, but when you finally get the kids to bed, when you finally get your house back in order, when you finally get a chance to sit down and pray, the words won't even come out. And sometimes you're so doggone tired with life, you fall asleep trying to get your prayer through. Well, I come to let you know, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Because Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes just sit there. Sometimes just lay there. Because God is reading your heart. When something's going on in your life and your God and you can't get the words out, God is reading your heart. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. Even though they said in the Greek that even though it's unspeakable in English, God's got it. How many know that God knows every language? He hears our silent tears. I'm talking about power praying. I ain't talking about little measly prayers. The little, the little cheap prayers. Just throw them up and move on. No. I'm talking about some serious stuff. That's what James is talking about. He's talking about serious stuff. Because James is writing to some Jews who were persecuted and they've been scattered abroad and they were still coming back to Jerusalem for the feast. And he was trying to let them know that, hey, you need to have some faith and you need to have some power in your prayer life. You're not always supposed to have somebody praying for you. Every then and now, you ought to be praying for yourself. And I'm going to show you in James where you ought to know how to pray. As a matter of fact, one of the first things you ought to learn as a Christian is how to pray and how to know the voice of God and who God is and how to pray. How to talk with my daddy. You ought to learn how to talk with your daddy. My God. Romans 8:26 says, go ahead, just stay there. Don't worry about it. You can't get the words out. Holy Spirit, I got you. Anybody ever had somebody speaking for them because you couldn't speak, an interpreter or something, Sometimes the Holy Spirit will interpret for you what you can't say because you're so overwhelmed with stuff. But you know you need to pray. Prayer is a crucial part of the believer's life. Throughout the Bible, you will find the prayers of men and women recorded. You will find many scriptures about prayer. And most profoundly, you will find Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was a man of prayer. We talk about we want to be like Christ, but pray. I want to be like Christ. I want to be just like Jesus. No, you don't. You want to put the time in prayer? Do you want to be obedient unto the Father in heaven? No, we just want the goodies. I wish I had a witness in here. We just want the blessings and the goodies. But somebody told us, if you can count your material blessings and all the good stuff you had, then you blessed. I come to differ with you on today. I found some folks that don't have nothing and they blessed. They got more joy than most of us have. They don't have possessions like we have, and they got more joy because they know how to count joy. Joy is not based on things. Joy is based on my relationship with my Lord and Savior. It's all right to have things, but things can't have you. Some folks don't feel complete till they got things. Colossians tell me my life is here with Christ and God. Colossians, I'm complete in Him. You might not think I'm a 10, but God said I'm all right. Oh, my. I'm just playing with y'all now. Don't go there talking about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 5, 6. They ain't worried about it. So much scripture about prayer. I often think about the disciples must have been impressed with John and Jesus' prayer life, because Luke 11, 1 said, Lord, teach us to pray. They could have asked a whole bunch of other things. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Because every time Jesus came out of prayer, he came out powerful. He used to get away and go in prayer, but he came out powerful. It's no sense in calling an all-night prayer session if you're not going to come out more powerful. If you come out pitiful, something wrong. When he needed to get refocused on what his father said, he would go away and pray. But one day the disciples said, wait a minute. Now, every time Jesus get away from us, I don't know where he go, but when he come out of that prayer, he looked refreshed, re-energized, reinvigorated. He ready to roll. Lord, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples. And then, just for clarification, the prayer in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, that's not really the Lord's prayer. That's the prayer that the Lord taught the disciples to pray. Jesus' prayer is actually John 17. Just for a matter, of information. So we know. But prayer is essential for the victorious, productive life of the believer. But many of us don't pray. We don't realize the importance of prayer. And don't realize the power of prayer. And some of us simply just don't pray. There was a book one time called Too Busy Not to Pray. Everybody said, I'm too busy to pray. No, too busy. You got a nerve to call somebody to give them your petition to pray for you. And you don't have time to pray for yourself. How important is it to you if you don't have time to pray for yourself, but you're going to call somebody else and give them your prayer request because you're too busy to pray? No, you're too busy not to pray. That's deep. I'm just going to call there. I'll call the intercessory prayer line and tell them to pray for me. I'm going to go on and have about my business. Every Christian needs an effective, consistent prayer life that is based on God's word and God's will and God's promises and the faith in God. You need faith in God. We need to do more praying first. So many people pray after. We need to pray first. You ever been somewhere you jumped out there, you went on out there, and then you said, oh, let me pray? No, pray first. Pray before you go. Amen. Pray before you get there. Pray first. We got that thing back, but we pray on the other side. We pray on the inside. Go for a job interview, don't get the job, then we're going to pray. No, pray before you get there. Pray first. We need to put this thing back in order. In the book of James, James helps us understand the whole idea of power praying, or praying with power. As we look closer at James 5, 13 to 18, let us consider these three points, or these keys to powerful praying. Number one, faith. When you pray, it says the prayer of faith. Number two, confession All of us got some junk in the trunk. And number three, righteousness. Number one, faith. Number two, confession. And number three, righteousness. Look at James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? That means, is anyone suffering trouble or enduring hardship? What does it say? Let him do what? Let him pray. It didn't say let him go looking all sad and telling everybody, I'm going through. James said, if any among you are going through something, let him pray. That means you ought to know how to pray. The church ought to teach folks how to pray. For when you're going through something, don't think it's strange, my brothers and sisters. Peter said it ain't strange. This is part of the journey. So learn how to pray for yourself. It's all right to have intercessory prayer, but James 5:13 says, if any among you is afflicted, going through something or hardship, you pray. Pray. Don't wait till Wednesday. This is Monday. I'm going to go through all this Monday and do the week. Is any among you afflicted, which means in the Greek, suffering trouble, enduring hardship, let him pray. So you got to have prayer life. You got to know how to pray. It's okay to have other folk praying for you, but this James said, pray. You pray. Didn't say call nobody else to pray. He said, you pray. Didn't say you couldn't call somebody else to pray, but initially, you pray. You know what's going on in your house. You know what's happening in your life. You pray. You don't trust the power of your prayer? I'm talking about power praying. Praying powerfully. You don't trust your prayer. You trust everybody else's prayer. What's the matter? You got a different God? Is your Jesus different? Well, if you watch the blood, you can get in touch with him just like I can. I'm not saying don't call folks for prayer, but James said, you ought to be praying. By the time you get to church, you ought to be prayed up. By the time other folks start praying with you, that thing ought to fall down and get right. Then it said, is any merry? That means if you happy, let him sing songs. And what he basically saying is, if you are already happy and you want to keep up your courage, then you go sing some songs of praise. See, if you're already in good shape, stay in good shape. Don't just say, oh, I'm good today. That's going to be it. No, he said, sing some songs of praise. Encourage yourself on the journey. James said, everybody ain't messed all up. Every time we come to church, everybody not down. Some are down and some are up. The ones that are down, James said, you ought to pray. The ones that are up, you ought to be merry. That's why sometimes you got folks singing songs and somebody next to you don't want to sing with you right now, just right now. But once that prayer gets through, you know, folks look at you sometimes and they feel some kind of way about you being happy. You're supposed to be happy sometimes. You're supposed to be joyous sometimes. But we let too much stuff mess us up. We let too much stuff get in our skin. We got folks, oh, they ain't look at me right. They ain't do this right. They ain't do that right. I don't like this church. I don't like that. Who voted you as number one member? We all got stuff. You got your personality. Why must I receive your personality? Miss Wonderful, Mr. Wonderful Personality. We got the wrong idea. It's a spiritual thing going on. That's why he says, if any among you afflicted going through something, let him pray. Because God said, you know, guess what? Because you got the power of heaven on your side. And when you got the power of heaven on your side, you get in touch with heaven. And you let heaven know what's going on your earthly life. And God will bless you and he will get you out of that thing. He'll give you the strength to get through that thing. That's what we talked about this morning. There will be glory after this. You got to get through this to get to the after this. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the after party. That's what it is. Come on, come on. Y'all too saved. We're going to have church on Saturday from now on because Sunday y'all too sanctified. The after party. That's the real party. There shall be glory at Sethery. See, right now, you just dance to do it because you're going through. But after, when the glory comes, is that the real party? And the after party, everybody don't make it to the after party. Because some folks fall out by the wayside. They let the trials and tribulations of life get to them. They never get to the after party. They never get to the glory after this. They don't know how to pray. I said, Lord, how come when I read your word, they were taking sick folk to you? And in our church, we take sick folk away and leave them home. Because we ain't got no power praying. The man was on a bed. And, come on. We tell folk when they sick, stay home. Go to work, but stay home all Sunday. This is a powerhouse. If I don't stay connected to the powerhouse. See, sometimes you need your own power. You can't always get to everybody else's power. Paul looked in the Gospels. They were bringing people to Jesus to be healed. And here in the New Testament church, in our day and time, we take people, stay away. I'll pray for you. Poor man on the pallet, boy, he'd still be out there frying in that heat yesterday. I got you in prayer, my brother. What's the water? We don't believe God. We don't believe God. We don't believe God. We don't believe God for the journey. We don't believe God will do some things. You see, verse 14, we'll get to the point. Is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That means that the elders of the church ought to have it together. The elders, the leaders, the officers ought to know how to pray. Ought to know how to get a prayer through. Because this person is sick. This person is ill and they're weak and they don't have the ability to really get the earnest prayer through that they need. So they call them for some reinforced prayer. They call them for the power of prayers. Folks, hey, look. I don't want anybody praying for me because you got no power praying. Don't do me no favor. I'm no weak prayer. I want the enemy's territory torn down in your life, my life, in the life of this church, in the lives of our children. That's called power praying. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And oil was medicinal and spiritual. So we got physical and spiritual healing going on. Because when we get down later, talk about confessing your faults. If I'm not sick, well, I can confess my fault. And that word says, so you can be healed. I said, but if I confess my fault and I'm not sick, why do you be healed? He said, I want you to be made whole spiritually too and not just physically. I wish I had a witness in here. Some of us are walking around sick spiritually. Because we ain't confessing nothing. I just lost about 25 people. Is any sick among you? That means anybody weak and ill. Call the elders of the church. My God. Don't have any elders that don't know how to pray. If they can't get a prayer through, they ought not be an elder. Call the leaders of the church and let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. See, God can do anything. See, we don't believe that. We don't believe what God can do. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith, not the prayer of the faith, the prayer of faith from all those elders, the prayer of faith, the prayer of those that believe in God, that believe he can do anything and everything but fail, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And that word save means to rescue, deliver, to heal, or to be in right relationship with God, with the implication that the condition was one of grave danger or distress. That situation was so messed up that they had to call in the power of prayers. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord, not the elders. We are the conduits. We are the instruments. Not the elders, not the pastors. You know. Not the prayer warriors. Do your job. They said, pray in the name. Call over the name. And let pray over him, anoint him well in the name of the Lord. And who will raise him up? The Lord. So we need elders that get in touch with the Lord. And that little stuff we do like this, they ain't real. They come up. I can't do that in here because I have a whole lot of cleaning bills because y'all wear some nice stuff up in here. And the prayer of the faith shall save us, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, wow, they shall be forgiven him. So one of the keys to praying powerfully is having faith. Faith in God. Faith that God can do anything and everything but fail. If he has committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. See, this is spiritual and physical healing. They're talking about wholeness. There's no sense of me being physically healed and I still got my spiritual mess. I am a whole person. I don't want to walk out talking about God knowing my heart. No. God, I want you to take it away. I want you to clean me up. I want you to make me whole. And the prayer of faith. Some people used to quote to say, and the prayer of the faith. No. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Look at verse 16. Another key, confession. Confess your faults one to another. That means admit it one to another, and you got to be very careful. You don't want to just openly confess to everybody. You want some elders that are sanctified. Some elders that know what to do with your information. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You don't want to come next to everybody know your stuff. That's why you can't confess to everybody. Everybody in the church ain't saved. I'm sorry. Confess your faults one to another. And then it says, pray one for another. I said, wait a minute. If you confess to me, why we got to pray for each other? But God said, you ain't that far away from your next mess. Come on, somebody. You're not that good. You can't walk around here like, oh, I have it going on. You're walking around looking down on people. Oh, yeah, I got it all. No. God said, we're just that close to another mess, to another wreck if we're not careful. So we need confession for our prayers to be powerful, which means that we got to empty out the stuff so the Spirit of God can take over our vessels so we can be powerful in our prayer life. Confess your faults once and pray one for another that ye may be healed. That's the word heal. It said, look, not just physical healing, but spiritual healing. Which means I can be stronger than an ox and still be sick. Oh, my God. I can be physically well and spiritually sick. And nobody would know because I ain't confessed nothing. God say, don't hold on to that stuff. That stuff will block your prayers. That stuff will block your blessings. And how you going to pray for somebody else if you got too much stuff in you to pray for somebody else? So you need faith. We need faith in God, and we need confession of sin. Confess your faults one to another. A lot of us can't do that. We got too much pride. We walk around, I ain't done nothing wrong. If I do something wrong, I'm just going to tell God. I'll tell God all by myself. But he said confess your faults because we need that power of that unified prayer to get people coming together. Just got to be careful who you tell it to. And don't tell your fault to somebody doing the same thing you do. All they're going to do is say, it's all right. Come on my house later. We'll do it some more. We'll get some more drink. We'll get some more druggies. Yeah, come on. Because elders are supposed to be delivered from some stuff. Elders, you're supposed to have your stuff in check. Elders, when you come to the church, leaders, when you come to the church, you ought to have your stuff at checkpoint at the door. You ought to be telling yourself when you pray for somebody else, God, I know I'm not perfect. But you called me to pray for those who are going through. God, you anointed me for such a time as this. Humility goes along with confession. Because you don't have no humility, you ain't going to confess nothing. Look at the last part of verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's the kind of folk I want praying for me. The effectual, fervent prayer. prayer. That means that they produce much. Righteous means refers to God's proper understanding, a righteous living, a person in accord with God's standard. We want the effectual fervent prayer. And all James is trying to say that if you really want some results on your prayers, then get some effectual fervent folk praying for you. Oh, my God. That's what you call power praying. That's praying with power. When you got the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, that means that it produces much. How are you going to be on the intercessory prayer ministry? You can't even get a prayer through. You got to be effectual and fervent, on fire and effective. Know who God is. Know how to talk to God. Know what the word says about God. Know what God promised. Know that God is a healer. Know that God is a deliverer. Know that God is a strong tower. Know that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You got to know who God is to be effectual in your prayer. Well, I don't know nobody pray for me. I'm not sure what it says in the scripture, but. We play around with prayer too much. Prayer is so important. That's why the enemy don't want to. You call a prayer meeting. Anybody come? About 4 or 5 folk. Call all night prayer. I got something to do tonight, Pastor. All right, cool. But you talk about prayer. Altar prayer. Folk be gone. They be recess out there sometimes. They be go to the bathroom. Oh, it's prayer time. Oh, I don't know how long. Oh, Pastor prayed today. Oh, Lord. That's going to be a long one. Oh, Lord. I go down and give me a coffee. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And be back. He's still be out there. We don't have no regard for prayer. Folk don't, when you say prayer time, people just be doing all kinds of stuff. But those that know the power of prayer, they be serious. They be dialed in. They be locked in. That's what happened with intercessory prayer. That's what happened with the young adult prayer line. They serious. He's talking about taking it to the king. They wanted to get some cars made for the prayer line. I said, "What are you getting cars made? Y'all going to really maintain it forever?" Yes, that's okay. I don't want to know. If it's for a week, you don't need a car for a week. Please call this week. But everything that's going to happen to you in your life. But they said, no, we want to maintain this thing. And they stepped to it. Along with our 24-hour prayer ministry, they had stepped their people up. Somebody up praying for you. You can't even pray for yourself 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody up praying for you. They're concerned about you. They're concerned about God being awesome in your life, that God doing the right things in your life, that God delivering you from whatever it is that's trying to hold you back from Him. But praying effectively. And we just brush it off. We'll call in a minute. Oh, pray for this. And walk away. Oh, I'm done. I'm going out, but pray for me. What? What is this? It's a game. Cover me while I go undercover. Come on, man. Playing that thing. Yeah, you know, y'all pray for me. I know I ain't supposed to be over here. Well, what do you want me to pray? Pray that God changed his mind and you pull me over there? Or pray God deliver you from being over there? We need faith, we need confession, and then we need righteousness for the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. Somebody rightly aligned with God. I ain't talking about perfect. But somebody with a mind stayed on God said, God, guess what? I understand what you want in my life. And I'm willing to go for it. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do in order that you might get the glory of God. God, I don't mind praying for other folk because you done blessed me. God, you bless me. You bless my family. Because I pray for them all the time. And God, I don't mind praying for somebody else. That's, see, you can't get in the prayer ministry if you don't know the word of God. I'm sorry. God, I think you said in your word. I'm in critical condition in the intensive care. I don't need you thinking God said. Lord, don't be playing with my life like that. If you don't love me like that, don't mess with me like that. I'm in critical condition, intensive care. I think the Lord said he might be a healer. You better get up out of my hospital room. Security! I'm talking about power praying. Earnestly praying. Praying for real. Praying with the expectation that God's going to move, bless, deliver, and set free. Praying that God's going to turn your situation around. And guess what? He will do it when he's ready to do it. But he'll keep you in the process. Amen. He may not do it when you want to, but he will do it when he wants to do it. And he'll keep you in the process. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But keep on praying. Keep on believing God. Keep on expecting that miracle from God. Expect that move from God. As a matter of fact, if he moved in your life in the past, what makes you think he won't move in the present? He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still hearing your prayer. But sometimes you need to go through something. We need to go through so we can learn some things and learn the voice of God and learn the power of God and learn the patience of God and learn the love of God. Don't ever stop praying. Don't get so frustrated when you stop praying. Well, God said you didn't answer me yet. I'm going to stop praying. Don't ever stop praying. Don't let the devil get you like that. Keep on praying because your answer's on the way. It was said earlier, you might not feel like it, but Kobe had to say, my stuff don't look right now, but guess what? Please be patient with me. I want us to think about prayer more seriously. It's not just the prayer that's in the name of our church. It's prayer like that's required of you and I by God. If any of you going through, pray. Pray for one another. When you ask folks to pray for you, pray for yourself. But you want the effectual, fervent prayer. You want the elders that know. Hallelujah. It's all right. You know, look around and say, hey, that brother, that's just, they're effective in prayer. I'm sorry, young lady. No, I don't need, no, don't you touch me. I don't need you. I want somebody to get a prayer through. Sometimes it's like that. You want somebody that's steeped in the word, somebody that knows God. And what you really want is somebody that can pray. Because you want somebody to look like God bless them. You all broke down at the altar. What you going to do for me? I want somebody to look like God working in their life, that they know the word of God. They stand on the word of God. They believe the word of God. And see, we don't want to go there. Everybody can be like, that's cold blood. No, that ain't real. It's real. Tell me you go in the restaurant and say, anybody bad, they can cook my meal. And they go get the janitor. So why do we come to church? And it's time for prayer. And you don't want an effective, fervent person praying with you and praying for you. You have that right. Oh, my God. Let's close out. Look at verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passages. We are saying he was just like us. But Elias is crazy. You know what? He believed God. He had to believe what he prayed to God. He had to believe God would stop rain for him. I wish I had a witness. God will stop some stuff for you. Yes, he will. Elijah wouldn't have prayed this if he didn't think it would happen. Don't pray stuff that you don't think can happen. Those are empty prayers. But this Elias, look at verse 17. He prayed earnestly. He didn't pray haphazardly. He prayed earnestly that it might not what? What's wrong with him? You got to go to 1 Kings to get the whole story. 1 Kings 17 to get the whole story. He prayed earnestly to the God of heaven that it might not rain. What kind of prayer? Why did James put this in? He said, because I want you to understand what my God can do. I want you to understand what my God is able to do. I want you to understand that my God stopped rain for me. I got a power prayer. I got no mealy mouth prayer. I got about somebody that meant what they prayed. Sometimes we come to altar, we don't mean it. Oh God, if you deliver me this time, you don't want to be delivered. You want to be set free for a moment so you can go back and get some more. Oh, you got to be real when you come up to the prayer. Come on. He prayed earnest that it might not rain. And guess what it said? What the rest of the verse say? It did what? How long? It rained what? It did not rain. Somebody in this church, you might have the power to ask God. You pray to God, God, stop the rain. Read this when you go home. Elijah, just like us, had the nerve to pray to God that it might not rain. and it rained not on the earth by the space of what? And six, not just for a day. Could somebody help me with effectual fervent prayer? He prayed that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth, which means it might have rained in heaven. But God put a thing up under the... And then look at verse 18. Then look what he did. What did he do? He prayed what again. And what happened? Don't tell me what God won't do for his people. Don't tell me what God won't do for his church. He'll stop it one moment and bring it the next. Because at one moment, you weren't ready for it. But at the next moment, I'm talking about the essential fervent prayer, believing God for what the word of God says. If you believe God for healing, then why are you afraid to ask God for your healing? As one preacher said, sometimes your healing doesn't come all at one time. Sometimes you got to walk in it. I'm healed. I'm healed. And every day, they said the young lady started feeling better. Said it was another person, they were healed right away. You got to know what got them. Talking about power pray. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. The next time you pray, take that serious. Don't just say, oh, pray for me, child. Why, people, they makes me laugh. You can really go do something you're supposed to do. Pray for me, I'm gone. Yeah, you are gone. I pray God bring you back to your senses. I'm praying for you and I know you're going to do something wrong. That ain't right. Don't ask me to pray for you. You know you're wrong. Pastor, pray for me. I can go hurt something. You say, Pastor, pray that y'all have bail money. But when you think about 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does it say? If my people, which are called by, did he ask for the sinners? He said, if my people, which are called by name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You want the land healed? You want your family healed? You want your marriage healed? You want your body healed? God loves us because he said, I want y'all to turn from your wicked way. He know all about us. Turn to Philippians 4. I'm sorry to bore you today with prayer. I'm sorry it's not exciting, but it's so powerful. If you have confession, and if you have righteousness and faith, you can get a prayer through. Look at Philippians 4:4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We talked about that yesterday, my brother. Hey, Pastor, why are you doing all right? Because the Lord is at hand. He near me. Oh, my God. That's why you never walk alone. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious, be careful for nothing, but everything by what?
Prayer
and supplication. With what? You mean to tell me I'm going through, I'm sick, I got to pray to God and thank him for being sick? Wait a minute. Somebody help me. This word messing me up. This is messed up. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What does verse 7 say? The what? Which does what? That's why folks don't understand why you go to church. They don't know why you go to church. And you're going through the same thing they going through, but they don't have the peace of God. They don't say they don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that passes all understanding gives me the ability to stand in the midst of it all. Don't try to explain your faith to nobody. Just walk in it. Let them hate on you. Just walk in it. And the peace of God, which passeth all, shall keep what? Through That's why folk without them going crazy. This about to run me crazy. Because you... Be anxious, but I don't care what's going on in your life. Don't let anxiety get in there. Whatever happens in your life, as soon as it happens, say, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't like it. God, I don't know how it happened. But I do know one thing. Your word tells me to let you know all about it. And when I let you know all about it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, God, I'm thankful that I know you. I'm thankful that you love me. I'm thankful that you died for me. I'm thankful that you got up for me. But I need your peace in the midst of my situation. Stop letting stuff keep you up all night. Go to sleep. I said it before, God stays up all night long. Why should both of y'all be awake? God wants to stay up. You don't have to. I'm talking about power praying. The peace of God which passes shall keep your hearts and minds. That's why we're not crazy. That's why what the enemy tried to do, he tried to mess you up, tried to make you go crazy, tried to destroy your life, tried to destroy your testimony, tried to destroy your integrity. But it did not work. Why? You were at the altar telling God about it. Every time the enemy do something. If you like me, some of the stuff, yeah, I got it in by myself. God ain't tell me. My flesh got up in there. I wanted to do it. Got in there and couldn't handle it. Lord. When you confess, God hears that. He'll step right in. When you start saying, Lord, I know I'm not God. I know I shouldn't be here, but I'm here. But you say, if I would confess, you faithful and just to forgive. I don't care what he did. I don't care what she did. You go and live your life for Jesus. God gonna get you out of that stuff. And stop beating yourself up. I know it's time to go. Stop beating yourself up. All the stuff God forgave you for, you still beating yourself up. Because every time you look at your son, and you look at your daughter, and you look at your ex this, and your ex that, you be feeling bad. What you feeling bad for? If they ex, what you feeling bad for? X. Get your life together. Walk around with your head down. Lift up your heads on your gates. And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. You make mistakes. Everybody else make mistakes. If they don't want to forgive you, you go ahead and say, Lord, I tried to get forgiveness. They don't want to forgive me. I got to move on. If ain't nothing else there, why are you still putting the bucket in the well? It's dry. A no more is a no more. And for my wonderful parents, you did the best you could for your children, and they got grown enough to make their own decisions, and they out there messing up. Hey, don't trip. Be an effectual, fervent prayer. And watch what God does. You did the best you could with what you had. Stop letting your children trip you out. You ain't never done this to me. You ain't never done that. Well, by the time you was 5, you thought you was 25. So I thought you was... Oh, my Jesus. Come on. Let that stuff go. Come on, live your life for Christ. Stop letting folks trip you out. God, you ain't doing that in my life. I ain't going to church no more. You ain't going to worship? A lot of folks don't go to church. I want folks to come to worship. This is fill up your prayer, praise, and worship center church. There's a reason why God gave us that day. I want you to come to worship. Because they that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And guess what? The doors of the church are open. We welcome everybody. But if you come up in here, you're going to get some worship. You're going to get some words. You're going to get some praise. And you're going to get some prayer. That's what we do. That's what the sign says. If you don't walk with the sign saying, walk on by. We serious about saving, so come on. Snatch him out of hell's fire. You've been in church all your life, you ain't got no power. I'm glad about Jesus being a man of prayer, because that's what he did on the cross. The first thing he uttered on the cross was a prayer. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that prayer gave Jesus the power to do what he needed to do. All I need to let leave you with this. If you have a powerful prayer life, it will get you from your Good Friday to your Resurrection Sunday. And all of us got more than one Good Friday. But praise God, we got many resurrections. But if you have effective prayer life, it'll get you through your Good Fridays and through your Golgothas. It'll get you through your Resurrection Sundays. You just got to keep on praying, keep on believing. Don't let go. Keep on following. Keep walking after God. Don't give up. Don't give in. You can win. You got to encourage yourself. You got to have your soul in your iPod. You got to have the word in your heart that you fight not sin against God. You got to have your whole armor on. That's power praying. Took Jesus right on down, but then he got up. He got up on Easter Sunday with all power in his hand. That prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do what I got to do for them. That's powerful. So when you think about prayer, think about, you know, power praying. When you pray for somebody, pray for yourself, get into that word and pray the word of God. You pray the word of God, you cannot fail. Pray over your children. Even when they're small, pray over them. They need prayer. Because the enemy will try to snatch them. He don't care what the age. Pray over your children. Pray over your marriage. Pray with your mate. Pray at your job. Pray for the one that really messes with you every day when you go to work. So y'all see, that's powerful prayer. God will turn them around. I had folk like that. Well, they were just trying to set me up and mess around, got sick, and had to call me to go get the medicine for them and pay for it. And wait, they got paid to give the money back to me. Oh, come on. I could have said, like, you call, amen. God said, no, be a witness. You around there talking about you, Reverend Pastor, be a witness. You a holy man, be a holy man. See, some of y'all ain't there yet. Because as soon as y'all get a chance to get back, I'd be like, yeah, right, now you need me. Now you need me, don't you? You talked about my God and my church and my witness, and y'all talked about me at lunch thinking I was holier than thou, and now you need me. That is not in the Bible. When God gives you an opportunity, a privilege, or a segue, come on, don't do that. Don't do that to him. Because, you know, it feels good, I know. Especially when you're dealing with somebody that used to be in your life and they need you, you'd be like, yeah. Got to eat out of my hand now, yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. I told you so stuff. Just go ahead and pray. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. Because God going to take care of them. As a matter of fact, you ought to go get your bedroom slippers, because you better make your enemies your footstool. And somebody that used to be your friend could be your enemy. Did you know that? Because you're going one way, they're going another way. That's what happens. You become spiritual and they stay in natural. So it's going to be a natural divide. Just keep on praying. Because God's changing you. And when he's changing you, he's going to change some situations in your life. But you know, you got to keep on praying. Don't give up. And don't go ahead of God. But you got to have some powerful praying. Powerful praying going on in the church and in your life. Let us all stand. Talking about power praying, that's all. Praying with power. Praying with power.